Matthew 22:42, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" I want to stop right there. And when we're looking at the subject of who is Jesus, I want to look this morning at the question, whose son is he? Now that seems a little ridiculous and almost redundant in a church like this, that we'd have to even mention anything about whose son that he is. But you may not fully grasp what our youth are facing or getting ready to face, or what many of our people face in the work world and everyday life. If you hear the phrase, "America is a Christian nation," we are no longer a Christian nation. Let me restate that. You see, some people use the same word, but they have a definition. And to me, you're not a Christian because you're in a Christian nation or because your parents were Christians. You're a Christian because you have had a personal, born-again experience washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Your name written down in the book of life. Your sins forgiven. And you've been made a new creature in Christ by repenting of your sin and confessing your sin to the Lord and confessing that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again and lives forevermore. In other words, if your life hasn't changed, you're not a Christian. Say, "Well, I'm a good person." It'll make a good person better and a bad person good, but there'll be a change when Jesus comes in. What has happened through time, through entertainment, through the bombarding of all of these outlets of distraction, little by little, the church has begun to disintegrate. Until now, we have a lot of people that they want a relationship with the Lord, but they don't want a relationship with the church. A new Pew Research, has drawn out a map now of what we call traditional denominations and how they are significantly slipping, because there has a group that has arisen that they refer to as the nones, N-O-N-E-S. The nones are adults unaffiliated with organized church and organized religion. And I know we've got salvation, we don't have religion, but if you got salvation, you'll be religious. Thank you. Do you know that the nuns, according to that, were the only block in our society that was known to have risen percentage-wise in every single state of the U.S.? So therefore, it is the only national religious trend right now. All others have gone the other way. I need not tell you, you don't have to look very far to find churches that are closing their doors and denominations that are falling prey to the very thing that I'm about to preach to you this morning. That particular block, don't worry, I'm going to preach here in just a minute. But you've got to grasp this. The number of nuns, when they did the first survey in 1990, were 8%. In other words, they're not affiliated with any church or religious organization. 2014, it had risen to 23%. We have almost 56 million American adults who opt out of Christianity now. 56 million. Don't tell me about the mission field. We have it right here. And I send missionaries and help send missionaries all around the world. But America is now a mission field. They've just opted out. They've just quit. Now, the nuns, it's funny. When they're interviewed, they insist that they still believe in God. Yet the foundation of their belief is not biblical. That's strange. I believe in God, but my belief in God is not biblical. In fact, here's some of the things they believe. 3 out of 10 believe in spiritual energy in physical objects. And they practice yoga as spiritual practice. You know what that means? Transcendental meditation. You open your mind to whatever comes in. You better be careful when you go opening your mind to whatever comes in. A devil might be standing beside of you. 25% believe in astrology and reincarnation. 6 out of 10 say they have a deep connection with nature and earth. 3 out of 10 say that they have felt in touch with someone who is dead. In other words, they feel failed, so the only way they can connect to their dead, because their dead loved ones have died without a testimony, they feel like the only way to do that is through means of mediums to try to somehow contact their loved ones that have died. 15% have consulted a psychic. Now I want you to hear what I'm about to say. If you deal with this group and you call them part of the New Age movement, that's incorrect. They consider the New Age movement a religion, and they're no part of religion. Essentially, now I want you to grasp what I jotted down. This is what I wrote down. Essentially, they believe that there is a lot of truth, enough truth to go around for everyone. So you can pick and choose what truth you want to believe. I read a study called The Habits of the Heart from a man named Robert Bella. And in that, he interviewed a woman named Sheila. Sheila is a nun. N-O-N-E. Sheila said in her interview, "I believe in God. I'm not a religious fanatic. I can't remember the last time I went to church. My faith has carried me a long way. I call it Sheilaism. Just my own little voice." You know the danger when you start picking and choosing truth? Eventually, there will be no truth. And everybody needs absolute truth. We have to have some things that we can count on and rely on individually as truth. We have to know that 2 + 2 = 4. We have to know that nothing means nothing when you add it to everything. We have to know that there is a law of gravity. There are some truths that do not change. And the problem with this is, since they don't believe in absolute truth, they're saying this: if I have to pick truth, I can also pick God to be what I want Him to be. I can say this with all assurance: probably nobody would ever choose a God of power and authority. Nobody cares about a God that says there's absolutes and it has to be this way. They're very combative. They love to get in a fight with you on social media. Don't fight with them. Why has this come about? Larry King, how many of y'all remember Larry King? Probably interviewed more people than it's amazing the people that he interviewed in his life. Larry King, his parents both were Orthodox Jews. He was born a Jew. Through that time, he got very confused, I feel, in life. And I can prove that in the statement that I'm about to make. He had an interview one time. After interviewing everyone, he finally decided he would let someone interview him. And he chose Bryant Gumbel. Bryant Gumbel had been a sportscaster. He had been on NBC for 15 years on a morning show, had interviewed people, and he felt that that would be the one that he would allow to interview him. During the questioning, during the questioning, here is what Bryant Gumbel asked him. If you could ask God only one question, Larry, what would it be? Larry King, his answer, I would ask him if he had a son. Thank God he had a son. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? That's a big question. Because when we talk about Jesus, he has been forgotten in all of it. Even if you watch most religions, they'll talk about a father. And most religions will talk about a heavenly father. But when it comes to Jesus, we want to leave him out of the picture altogether. But the truth of the matter is, if we don't recognize that he had a son, we've got a bigger problem than what we ever realized. I mentioned the other morning in camp meeting, you know, if you don't settle the son question, you'll never settle the sin question in your life. Because after everything else is said and done, there is only one person that has the absolute power and authority to take our sin away and to change our life forever, and His name is Jesus. You can pray all you want to pray, but if you don't ask it in the name of Jesus, there'll never be a sin washed away. There'll never be a burden lifted. There'll never be a body healed. There'll never be a blessing come if we don't ask it in that name that is above every name, that name that every demon trembles because they believe he is the one that has the authority to cast us out, put us underfoot. That name that death shivered when they put him in the ground at the rumbling of the earth on the first Easter morning when they heard the name. Who is that in the darkness that is shaking the bowels of the earth and coming forth with power? And in grand anthem he came up and said, my name is Jesus, the one that has power over death, hell, and the grave. He is not part man and part God. He is all man and all God. He is the God-man. Some say while he was on this earth, he was God. And he could not sin. He could sin. He was tempted in all points like we are tempted, yet without sin, the Bible says. He could sin, but he wouldn't sin. And thank God he didn't sin, because if he had sinned, he would not have been the perfect Lamb of God that John said, you look at him, you'll find no fault in him. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. His name is Jesus. I got in a conversation with my brother-in-law yesterday afternoon. My mother-in-law is here today. Don't shudder, Phil, when I repeat something that he said. It was good. I mean, it was really good. You know, it's funny how even people that don't go to church and are away from the Lord, how they sense that something is happening in this land. They sense something's going on. They know something's going on. I believe God sent revival. But he said, you know, I've come to the conclusion. He had always been very political. I never talked a lot of politics with him. And he said, you know, I heard a preacher say something the other day that changed my mind about everything. I said, well, what did he say? He said, you know, politics is good in its place. But what's happened is people begin to rely on their political party to bring salvation. And he said, you know, that's just men, they'll fail. And he said, the preacher said something. Boy, when he said it, we were at a family reunion, but I wanted to shout. He said, some people count on the elephant. And some people count on the donkey. He said, but what you ought to do is count on the Lamb. I hear everybody, everywhere I go, oh, Supreme Court, Supreme Court, Supreme Court. Are you really worried about that? The Supreme Court interprets the Constitution. We are a church. We are not here and bogged down by this world. Their job is to interpret a Constitution. Our job is to interpret the Word of God. And this stands straight no matter what anybody says. Kids, you listen to me. They can tell you all they want. You can't pray in school. You can't pray in school. You can't pray in school. I've got news for them. They don't even know what prayer is. You don't have to stand up with loud voice and lift your hands up. They cannot stop you from praying in school. I don't care what they say. Wherever you're at, you can be looking straight ahead and saying in your heart, thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you kept me safe on my way to school. From your heart, you can be saying, thank you, Lord, that you're there to help me and take care of me. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to see me through the day. Thank you, Lord, that you saved my soul. Lord, I pray for my lost friends here at school that they can't stop you from praying. Why? He's the God-man. If he's not a man, who was that baby lying in the manger? Wrapped in swaddling clothes. If he's not God, why did the heavenly host and the shepherds come to worship him? If he's not a man, who was that little boy that his parents fled with him down into Egypt? If he's not God, why was Herod so afraid that a little boy would take his kingdom from him? Because he was of the power of evil. And evil told him, this is of the power of God. This is the God of the universe. He's not a man. Who was that little 12-year-old standing in the synagogue? And if he's not God, what did the wise old rabbis say? Never a man spake like this man spake. He's not a man who held the fishes and loaves in his hands and blessed them and broke them. If he's not God, how did he feed 5,000 men besides the women and children? If he's not a man, who was that asleep in the back of the ship when the storm came and they could do nothing to get it under control? If he's not God, who was it that stood and said, peace, be still, and the storm settled down? If he's not a man, who was that one that stood at Lazarus' tomb and wept? But if he's not God, who was it that said, Lazarus, come forth? He's not a man. Who was that one that Pilate looked at that day and said, behold the man? But if he's not God, then who was that one that said, I and my Father are one? Oh, glory. If he's not a man, who was that one that bowed down in the upper room and washed the dirty feet of the disciples? And if he's not God, who was that one that washed their sins away by his own precious blood? If he's not a man, who is that one on the cross that cried aloud, I thirst? If he's not God, who was the one that gave the woman at the well the living water to drink? If he's not man, who is that one that died on Calvary's cross and said it is finished and dropped his head on a pulseless chest? But if he's not God, who is that one that on the third morning arose from the dead in grand procession? I'm here to tell you who it is. It is Jesus. Who is it? He is the Son of God. And Jesus is in us. It's through His name, through His power, through His might. He is the God-man. Oh, my mercy. If He's not God, who called Himself? He's not a man, who called himself the Son of Man. if he's not God, who said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For I and my Father are one. I'm feeling this morning. I'm sorry. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Oh, glory to God. He never had a home. They said the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. Tell me who it is if that's not a man. But tell me if he's not God, how he could say, Cal, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you know why he could say that? He's in the building business. He was here when this world rocked and reeled without form and void. And in the beginning when it was all created, he was there when it was created. He is the one that numbered the stars and called them by name. He is the one that took the promises of his word and took the hammer of his truth and struck it against the anvil of his word, got the sparks from it and flung it into the heavens and said, let there be stars. He made it all things made by him, all things exist by him. And most important of all, the thing that humbles my heart is he's gone home with me today. He's gone home with me today. He goes with me to church. He goes with me when I visit the sick. He goes with me to help the poor. He goes with me in the good times. He goes with me in the bad times. Doesn't matter if the sun's shining or the rain is coming down. His name is Jesus. And every time that the enemy comes to fight, all I have to do is breathe his name. And he said, I am here with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of this world or the end of the age. His name is Jesus. Oh, glory. I don't know how it feels back there. It feels pretty good up here. We all need a lot more knowledge of the true Jesus. Not none. So while you're trying to figure out a way, listen to me. You're trying to figure out a way to tell the one Jesus who has all authority. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. While you're trying to put him in a box, lock it up, and throw away the key, he'll let you go a long way on your own foolishness. But you trust me, at just the right time, in the middle of the night, when all the lights are out and all the naysayers are gone and the TV is off and the social media is shut down, you'll hear a little voice say, I'm still here. I am he that was and is and shall be forevermore. Who are you, Jesus? Are you Abraham? No. I am he that was here before Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. I am. I love that he said, I am. He didn't say, I was. I am. Doesn't matter what you're facing. He is the great I am. When you're sick, I am your healer. When you're broke, I am your banker. When you're hungry, I am your baker. When you need a house, I am your carpenter. When you're lonely, I am your friend. When you're discouraged, I am your helper. When you're lost, I am your savior. When you need direction, I am your teacher. Oh, I wish you'd help me preach this morning. Who is it? I tell you who he is. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the Son of God. Well, glory, glory, glory. You say, well, What about Rubyville Church? It's his. Everyone says, we're a cult. Do you know why they say that? Because people don't preach Jesus anymore. You look around here, you look long and you look hard. When you pulled in today, you don't see up there my picture. You're coming to the church of Calvin Ray Evans. You don't see Brian's picture. You don't even see our name as pastor. Probably in your bulletin. That's just so you can get in contact with us if you need us. But I want you to look around. Let's see. There's a cross. 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 There's a cross, 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 cross. Okay. See those where it dropped down? There's a cross there. There's a cross there. There's a cross there. There's a cross there. You can't see it. It's up under the sheetrock. It's between us and heaven. Oh, and by the way, there's a cross there. There's a cross there. There's one about right there. There's one up in the peak, one on the other side, one there, one there, one there. Every one of you sitting under the cross. Look out the windows. Look out the windows. Top window. Cross, 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 cross. Cross, 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 cross. Do you see my name on any one of them? Do you know why? I'll be dead and gone one day. Oh. Somebody said, well, I don't want anybody to weep, but I sure hope after I pour my heart into you, you'll at least shed a tear for me. But I promise you, you'll have church next Sunday. Lord, family, come. Get ready to sing, if you will. I'm asking them to sing a song here. I went to see Jim Creech. And the running test, their initial test, didn't sound good. And when they told his son, Greg, what they thought that he had, they said, Greg, you don't seem real surprised. And he said, Dad diagnosed himself before he come in. It's old school. You don't understand it. He just knew. Whether he knew through prayer, God led him to the right place, he just knew. I mean, how do you know what to pray for if you don't know what you have? And he didn't know I was outside. When I was standing out in the hallway, I heard him bragging about Jesus, talking about how our church lifts up Jesus, talking to the chaplain. Nice man, very nice man. Chaplain, a wonderful man. So, after the chaplain left, he went into details on what all they were running, and for confidentiality, I don't want to say anything beyond that, but I told him, I said, Jim, we're praying for you. And he said, thank you, Pastor. He said, but it's okay. He said, that church built on Jesus, it'll go on without me. And I said, Jim, if it's okay, I'd like for it to go on for a while with you. It'd be real nice if we'd just be raptured up together. But you know what he was saying? Jesus, 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 Jesus.